Good morning on Sunday, the 9th of October 2022. Our readings for today are from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 15, and the Gospel according to St. Mark chapter 4, verses 1 to 9. And I want to look at the passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Now, today is Harvest Thanksgiving. And both of these passages, the passage in Mark 4 and in 2 Corinthians 9, talk about sowing or talk about a sower. And it seems strange perhaps to look at this topic whenever we meet together for harvest, because harvesting is the end of the sowing process. But in a sense, it's a bit like the chicken and the egg, and which came first, or in a very real way, you can't get an egg if you don't have a chicken. There's got to be something sown, or the sowing process has to take place before you can have a resulting harvest. But let me read the passage, or begin to read the passage in verse 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. This is Paul speaking. "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully, so that each one give as he purposes in his heart. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And if God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work." Ending in verse 8. But I really want to focus on the beginning of this passage. He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. You cannot expect to get a big harvest if you only sow sparingly. In other words, if you only sow in small measure, or you don't take too much time in it, you cannot expect to get a big harvest. That would be a miracle if you did get a big harvest. But clearly the Bible talks about don't expect to get that kind of miracle, because Paul says here, if you only sow a little, then a little is the harvest you're going to get. And equally as well, if you sow a lot, then a lot of harvest, a big harvest, is what you're going to get. All right? So that's just simple. But let me read the next verse. It says, "So let each one give as he purposes in his heart." And it's just that one phrase. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart. The sowing is referring to harvest. But this is talking about what you give. And if I read on, or you remember the rest of the part of the passage, it's talking predominantly about finances and about money. But in a sense, leaving that aside, or not really just focusing on that, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart. Why do you give what you give? Why do you give how you give? There are many reasons as to why people give. Now, yes, everybody immediately goes to money. But you give of yourself. You give of your time. You give of your resources. You give of the things that you have. Now, what do I mean? A neighbour comes to you because they've run out of milk. Will you even answer the door? Sometimes in today's society, people mightn't. Now, hopefully, here in Fermanagh, people still will. And will you give to your neighbour who is in need? And I would hope to say is there's a resounding yes, of course I will. Of course I will. But do we give begrudgingly, or do we give with pleasure? Verse 7, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart. Now it says, let each one give as he purposes in his heart. And the reason why I want to focus on this, the reason why I'm emphasizing this, is because so often people think, well, if God says to me to give, I'll give. If I feel that the Lord is leading me to do something, then I'll do it. And what they're trying to do is put the blame onto God. They're trying to say is, unless God does something special in my life, you know. And that sounds super holy. That sounds good. And yet it's not. It's actually shifting responsibility. Because in a very real way, God has already spoken. Because God says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7, so let each one give as he purposes. So to start off with each one. He's talking to you and you and you. So let each one give as he purposes or she purposes. So it's what you decide to do. It's what you decide to give. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart. And your heart is your very being. Your heart is your inner being. In essence, where the Holy Spirit resides. For those who are born again, for those who claim to believe in Jesus and do believe in Jesus. Because those who don't, your heart, as it were, is dead, spiritually dead. Because you need to be born again. But still, it's within our heart. It's our decision. It's not God's decision. It's your decision or my decision what we give or how we give of ourselves. And I want you to think more than just church, and I definitely want you to think more than just money. I want you to think of your life. Everything that you do, you purpose to do it. But let me ask you this, out of everything that you do in your life, how much of it do you do for God? And to a certain extent, I was going to say, forget about the church. In other words, by that I mean, don't be thinking it's what I want. It's what the church wants. No, take it back to the basics. It's for God. How much of your life do you give to him? Now, I know again, we can go, oh, I surrendered all and I gave my whole life to Jesus. But I'm just asking, in relation to this passage, in relation to harvest. Because remember verse 6, Paul says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart. So in other words, what way you sow is the way you have purposed in your heart. So therefore, what way you receive a harvest is also because of the way that you have purposed in your heart. And again, when perhaps you think of it that way, people are believing for big blessings. People are believing for great things to happen to them. But yet perhaps they haven't purposed that in their heart. They haven't made that decision to go look for that. And they're trying to get it from little things. You see, God's interested in the whole person. He's interested in all of you. Now, I don't mean all of you as in everyone here. But if I was to pick somebody out and point the finger at somebody, which I know nobody would like, but if I take one person, God wants all of you. And so I usually talk about myself. God wants all of me. He doesn't just want the part of me that's a minister and works on a Sunday. He doesn't just want the part of me that ministers to people. He wants all of me. 24/7, 365 or 366 days a year. He wants all of me. But the wonderful thing about God is that that sounds, you know, whenever I say it like that, it sounds like an awful burden, that God wants all of me. And the wonderful thing is God isn't like that, and it's not like that. He loves me and he loves you. But yet at the same time, he wants all of you. He wants all of me. And there's a song I have on my car. It's actually my ringtone on my phone. And there's a wonderful thing. Part of the song talks about that, you know, God has all of me, but I get all of him. I have and you have, you know, when you believe in God, when you believe in Jesus, you have all of him. All of him. And he gets all of you. But you see, he's so wonderful and so beautiful and loving God that he gives us free will and choice. He gives us free will and choice. He doesn't demand all of us. And yet he doesn't hold anything back of himself. He doesn't hold anything back of himself. He gives his all to you and me. And so I'm just asking you, will you give your all to him as well? Verse 7, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. You know, you don't have to. And you don't have to do it through gritted teeth either. But you do it because you want to. You want to. You've chosen to. You've made a decision. Yes. God's given me so much. I want to give everything back to him. That's the kind of person I want to be. And I choose to be. There's a picture that's just come to mind. Something that I've spoken about before. And it's the picture that Jesus talks about. He says, take my yoke upon me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And the picture of the yoke is that we're yoked to Jesus, you know, like oxen and a mature cow and a young cow to train the cow how to do things. But Jesus uses this picture of where we're yoked to him. We're yoked to him. So that as he walks, or as we walk, he walks with us. And when we stop, he stops. But the picture of the yoke that God has shown me and what I want to share this morning with you is that if the yoke wasn't there, as in we picture it as a physical thing, but if you imagine that the yoke isn't there, as Christians, we choose to remain yoked to Jesus because that's what brings us freedom, being yoked to him. And even when the physical yoke isn't there, even when there's nothing there, we choose to be with him. We choose to give as we purpose in our hearts. Not through gritted teeth and not because we have to, but we do it because we want to. And yes, the benefit of that is we'll reap a huge harvest because we've given our all. But we're giving because we choose to do so. And as I say, that may be money, but it also may be your time. It may be your gifts, your talents, your resources, things that you have. But you choose to give because you've decided to. It's what you've decided to. It's like as it says in Romans 12, it's your reasonable sacrifice. It's not an onerous thing. It's not a hard thing. It's simple. So I encourage you this year to be sowers, but to be big sores because you're looking at a big harvest. Not because you have to, but because you want to. So as Paul says, I will finish. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart. Amen.